Human right. It'll be a chance for individuals to tell their stories about skyrocketing rents, no-cause evictions, dubious fees, and other kinds of exploitation carried out in the name of rent. There'll be childcare, snacks, and a chance to get connected to resources for moving forward together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
Yes, and you do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Frog Song Montessori Preschool, a community for mindful learning that encourages children to explore, create, and deepen their understanding of themselves and the world around them. A program of Dharma Rain Zen Center. More information at frogsongpreschool.org.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's guest is pediatrician Robert Sears. Robert Sears is the author of the vaccine book and the autism book, and co-author, along with William Sears, of the bestsellers The Baby Book and The Portable Pediatrician. Robert Sears is here today to talk about his latest book, also co-authored with William Sears, The Allergy Book, Solving Your Family's Nasal Allergies, Asthma, Food Sensitivities, and Related Health and Behavioral Problems. Welcome to Health Watch, Dr. Robert Sears.
Thank you, Dr. Naiman. I'm very happy to be on the show.
So one of the things that The Allergy Book starts out with is really making clear just how common allergies are as a medical problem, perhaps the most common medical problem faced by people today. And we don't really know why they're on a steady rise, but there are some thoughts about why that may be the case. What are some of the thoughts around why allergies have become problem number one for Americans?
Yeah, it's a great question. We think it has a lot to do with the environment and how humans interact with the environment. We know that a number of research studies have shown environmental toxins, pollutants, plastics, various chemicals, insecticides, all those toxins change the human immune system and make us more susceptible to allergies. We think genetically modified foods might play some role in this as well. And then a lot of it has to do with how we treat our bodies in the early part of our life. The overuse of antibiotics really changes our intestinal health that sets us up for allergic problems as we get older. And unhealthy diets, too much sugar, also interferes with our intestinal immune balance. And then there's certainly some genetic changes that we're seeing in our species that we think are making our immune systems less healthy. And so there's a whole host of things, Dr. Naiman, that might be contributing. And then maybe, you know, some of these changes we can control and influence during our young lives that might hopefully help us get healthier as we get older.
One of the things that I really liked about the allergy book was having us step back from what we think of an allergy doing and really noticing how many different areas of the body a chronic allergy can affect. And you list several in the book that it affects nearly all systems of the body, the skin, the gut, the lungs, the immune system, and the nervous system. So what are some of the chronic effects of living with a heightened allergy response over a long period of time for people?
Well, it really has to do a lot with the end result of the allergic process, which is inflammation. Our immune system just simply giving off a lot of irritating chemicals in all our different body tissues. I mean, we feel these immune chemicals right away as allergic reactions. But, you know, long term, it's more than just a little runny nose or itchy skin or minor wheezing. All of our body organs, especially the lungs, for example, you know, just the continuous irritation from these immune chemicals really create a lot of wear and tear. And our lung tissues, for example, if you suffer from chronic asthma, our lung airways literally get harder and more firm, you know, less flexible the older we get, and it really sets us up for, you know, far worse breathing problems when we get older, if you're living your whole life with asthma. But that's just one thing. You know, the nervous system really suffers as well. The health of our brain, how well our nerves work, the clarity of our thinking, our memory, all those things are affected by chronic inflammation.
And then we also have a increased incidence of developing other allergies later on if we don't address the allergies we have now.
Yeah, correct. And that's one thing I like to stress to my young patients. You know, I'm a pediatrician, so I see kids, you know, when they're young. And if you have a baby with eczema, you know, or some food allergies, really irritated skin, the eczema can really change into chronic sinus and nasal allergies as kids get older. But then that can even progress into asthma. You know, as you go through childhood, there's this kind of this domino effect as each body system starts suffering more and more from allergies. And then that's kind of why it's incredibly important to address your allergic problems when the kids are young. Try to solve them early before your child progresses into asthma. Because once you're stuck with asthma, it's even more of a challenge to try to get rid of your chronic allergies. And you might be stuck with it lifelong, or it might require a lot more work, you know, to get to the bottom of it.
Well, given that asthma, eczema, and hay fever travel in families often, what are some of the interventions if you do have an infant or a toddler with one of those to try to prevent the development of other problems later on?
I think that the key is first of all, if you have an allergic problem, get allergy testing. I mean, you really want to try to get to the bottom of it and try to find either the foods or the environmental exposures that you're reacting to. And if you can eliminate those from your life, then your job might actually be done. In fact, I almost hope that a patient I'm seeing for allergies has a simple allergy, such as maybe to milk or to a wheat or corn or eggs, maybe a single thing you can take out of their life and let their body calm down. Where the challenge is, though, is if you're allergic to multiple things. You know, myself, personally, I'm allergic to mold and dust, certain pollens, and I think I have some mild allergies to food as well. But once you track those things down, you can eliminate or at least limit them in your life, and you might not suffer as much, and then your other allergic problems can actually go away if you're eliminating the actual cause. You know, the greater challenge comes, though, when you don't find a cause, you know, in allergy testing, yet you continue to suffer, but you don't know what to eliminate from your life. Then things get a lot tougher, and you have to turn to a lot more drastic measures and medical treatments and other ways to try to get your body healthy that don't involve the simple elimination of a single allergen.
Well, it's nice that your narrative around struggling with your own personal issues with allergies is part of the book, and we get to see some of the success that you've been able to achieve long-term through experimenting with different interventions.
Yes, exactly. This is really really personal for me. In fact, this might be probably the most personal book I've ever written, since allergies is really the only ongoing medical challenge I've ever had. And something I've learned for myself as well as many of my patients is that for a lot of people, allergies really begin in the gut. You know, they begin with your intestinal health. So if you, no matter where your allergies are, such as your skin or your sinuses or your lungs, you really got to pay attention to your intestinal health. That's the key. And so for my patients, I like to limit antibiotics, you know, so you're not interfering with intestinal health and intestinal immunity. I like kids to be raised on very, you know, low sugar diets, low junk food, keep that to a minimum, because that really creates more intestinal problems. And if you have intestinal symptoms, such as chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation, any signs of irritable bowel, you really want to focus on your gut health to try to get it more healthy, because that will in turn help prevent or improve any of your allergic problems.
Well, it's interesting, having hosted the show for many years, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when a naturopath or a holistic medical doctor would talk about minimizing antibiotics, it might have been perceived as anti-science. But not only are we now seeing that the research around antibiotics in most ear infections or bronchitis aren't showing great benefit in most cases, but you cite some really interesting things about early antibiotic use. For instance, the earlier, the first time a child has antibiotics, the higher incidence of allergies later, but also multiple uses of antibiotics before the age of 2 doubles the risk of asthma, which seems pretty remarkable as a statistic. So it seems like in a variety of ways, limiting antibiotics to really the most clear-cut cases seems to be warranted, and also for community responsibility around antibiotic resistance.
Exactly. And the whole key to a lot of our immune problems and our allergic problems are the healthy germs that are living in our intestines. You know, we have trillions of healthy bacteria that live in the gut that help balance the immune system. They help us digest food. They help determine whether or not our body is going to have an allergic reaction to foods. And those bacteria really live in a symbiotic relationship with our body. We need those bacteria to be healthy. And when they're not healthy, when we kill off some of those healthy bacteria, we allow unhealthy bacteria to overgrow, unhealthy germs, yeast overgrowth. When all these unhealthy germs overgrow, they take over the intestines, and then that whole symbiotic relationship is destroyed, and we really suffer for it. And there are a lot of areas in medicine, especially with inflammatory bowel diseases and any chronic intestinal problems, there's a lot of research focusing on how to maximize the healthy bacteria within your gut to really eliminate those kinds of chronic health issues. And so that's why not only avoiding antibiotics is important, but eating probiotic-rich foods that have a lot of these healthy bacteria, like healthy yogurt or homemade cream cheese or sour cream, rather, homemade kefir, cultured vegetable dishes like kimchi and sauerkraut, drinking probiotic-rich drinks like a kombucha is a common one. All these healthy probiotic-rich foods really replenish the gut with the healthy germs, and I think those do play a significant role in allergic disorders.
And you have to wonder if maybe at some point we'll rethink elective C-sections given the bacteria exposure you get from a vaginal birth.
Yeah.
And then also the automatic use of antibiotics in most conventional birth settings.
Yeah, it's definitely a catch-22. Baby's very first introduction into life is the healthy bacteria that mom has in the birth canal. Babies are bathed with that bacteria, and those bacteria go in and colonize baby's system. That's how nature designed us. And when a baby is born by C-section, the baby doesn't get that first introduction. Or if the delivery is complicated by the use of antibiotics, then some of those bacteria are destroyed during the process, and baby doesn't get as good a dose. On the other hand, C-sections sometimes are necessary to save baby's life, save
Sure.
mom's life. So you really want to balance, and I think the key is the avoidance of unnecessary C-sections and unnecessary antibiotics. I think that's something that our medical community has to shift towards. Every mom and baby you're considering doing a C-section to or giving antibiotics to, the long-term health consequences must be weighed in that decision, and help the families decide, make an educated decision instead of just saying, hey, maybe we should do a C-section. Let's go ahead and do it and not consider all the possible ramifications.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Dr. Robert Sears, co-author of the book, The Allergy Book, Solving Your Family's Nasal Allergies, Asthma, Food Sensitivities, and Related Health and Behavioral Problems. Dr. Sears, for a long time, people assumed that not introducing foods too early was a good idea to avoid developing food allergies, for instance. And now that seems, with a lot of research coming out, to be a much more muddled picture. In fact, some of the science suggests exposing people earlier might actually have some benefit in not developing allergies, which seems counterintuitive to what we used to think. So how do you sort through conflicting data in this area around avoiding potential allergies or introducing and exposing people to potential allergies?
Yeah, that is a great question, and my advice has changed on this in recent years. I think no longer do doctors believe that we should avoid all the allergenic foods like peanuts and eggs and fish, other nuts. We used to say don't feed those foods until your kids are two. Then we said don't feed them until the kids are one. Now the medical community is kind of admitting that we really just don't know. Some cultures around the world that introduce peanuts at an early age, even as early as 6 months, those kids almost never have peanut allergy. Introducing eggs early or even a wheat early on, we think might actually be protective. And so my most up-to-date advice on this really is I admit to the patients that we don't know exactly what the best advice is. You have to consider your own intuition as a parent. But I do now encourage parents, by the time their baby is about 9 months of age, they should gradually introduce a little bit of peanut butter, a little bit of eggs, fish, a little bit of wheat, yogurt, pretty much all the things that kids might tend to be allergic to. You do it, one at a time, in very small amounts, and see how your child handles them. But even more importantly, you want to introduce these foods while still breastfeeding. We've actually found specifically for wheat introduction that if you introduce a baby to wheat products while still breastfeeding, you lower the risk of wheat allergy as they get older. Something about breast milk helps manage the introduction of these foods to your immune system and helps protect you from being allergic to them. So, yeah, I encourage people to talk to their own doctor about the most up-to-date information on this. And I kind of lay out in the book what I feel are the most current guidelines on when to introduce these foods.
Well, another really fascinating area for me was the research that you cite on immunotherapy, more commonly known as allergy shots. And it looks like there's quite an upside to doing allergy shots throughout life, in the sense that if you do allergy shots for chronic nasal allergies, it significantly lowers the risk of developing asthma later on. And if you do it for one allergy, then it's less likely that you're going to develop another allergy later on in your life. This is very fascinating information that I wonder if is really getting out there the way it should.
Right. We know if someone is, has nasal allergies as a child, and this is a lot of kids, nationwide. If you simply have nasal allergies and you don't do anything about it, then you have a risk of developing asthma as you get older. Research has found that if you use allergy shots to eliminate your nasal allergies, then you actually lower your risk of moving on to asthma. And that is something a lot of people don't know. And I'll admit, as a younger doctor, I didn't used to know that. I was able to learn a lot of new ideas from researching and writing this book. So nowadays, every kid that I see with nasal allergies, and I do testing, we try to eliminate what's causing it, we try to get them to be healthy. But if we can't solve it, I often more and more now am recommending allergy shots to be considered and consulted with an allergy specialist before the child develops any signs of asthma, because that might be a life-changing move for them to make, and it's key that you do this before asthma develops. And as a quick list, the things that we do know allergy shots can possibly eliminate are grass allergies, ragweed, some tree pollens, cats and dog allergies, dust allergies, cockroach allergies, and mold allergies. Those are all the things that we have allergy shots and then they're developing some techniques for these in regards to food allergies as well, but that's still in the research phase. But, you know, talk to your doctor about you know, the most up-to-date information and ask him whether or not allergy shots might be an option for you.
And then what do you do, Dr. Sears, with patients with asthma? What are some of the approaches that you take, particularly to sorting out a good evaluation and treatment protocol?
Yeah, not only testing to see what you're allergic to, and not only making sure your intestines are healthy with healthy diets. A few other things, you know, definitely don't be afraid to use prescription inhalers. They can really help, and sometimes they are really needed. But you definitely want to look through some of the options on special diets. You know, for me, following a paleo style of eating, as well as being gluten-free to lower my body's inflammation reaction to wheat, I think really made a big difference for my asthma. Eating a lot of healthy fish sometimes helps reduce inflammation. I found, actually, you can buy hard salt crystals from the Himalayan mountains. It's called Himalayan crystal salts. You put those in a jar and you shake it up and you breathe some of the salty air out of this jar. The salt can actually be nice and healing on the lungs, and I've found it sometimes helps calm down some of my asthmatic symptoms. Interestingly, you know, some of the traditional Chinese medicine techniques and herbs sometimes help asthma, in addition to acupuncture has some good research behind it. So there's a lot of things people should really look into and consider when they're trying to solve their chronic asthma problems.
Well, you mentioned gluten as one possible thing to explore, and that's definitely seems to be in the air right now. Lots of our guests are talking about gluten-free diets. Do you feel like that much of this upsurge in gluten allergies is a real physical phenomenon? And how much of it do you feel like is partly a fad, for instance?
Yeah, you know, for some people, they might just be following it as a fad. But I would say in my medical practice, what I'm witnessing before me in my patients, as well as my own battle with asthma, I truly believe that some people are definitely allergic or sensitive to it. We know 1% of our population is severely allergic to gluten in the form of what's called celiac disease. I was surprised that celiac disease affects 1% of us. 1 in 100 people walking around has that severe form of gluten allergy. But then I would say a good 5% of us probably are at least somewhat sensitive to gluten and certainly might be able to benefit from a gluten-free diet. I mean, there's no harm in trying it.
No.
It takes a lot of, you know, research and a lot of self-control and understanding, but it's certainly you're not going to harm your nutrition. You're not going to leave yourself deficient in anything when you try a gluten-free diet, and you might find you're better off for it.
Well, let's, in the final minutes of the show, perhaps you can mention some of the best anti-allergy foods and some of your favorite supplements that you will use for prevention and treatment.
Yeah, my dad came up with what he calls the 5S diet, the five areas that might help prevent allergies and inflammation. And the first one is seafood, especially wild salmon. The next thing is drink smoothies. Fill your smoothies with a lot of colorful fruits and berries and vegetables, because those plant-based nutrients are very anti-inflammatory. Eat a lot of salads. I tell the young kids in my practice, you got to eat a vegetable or a berry that's from every color of the rainbow every single week. And when you're shopping with mom or dad, make sure you get, you know, one of each of those 7 colors in your basket, because you got to make some salads and eat those for dinner every week, because that's going to go a long ways. And there's certain spices like turmeric and cinnamon and various other spices that, you know, can help prevent inflammation and allergies. And then, we know some of the supplements like vitamin D, probiotic supplements, those are two some of the other key vitamins people can take to help reduce allergies as well.
And are you an advocate of fish oils for or omega-3s for allergy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always going to be healthier just to eat fish directly, especially wild salmon. But if you're not a fish eater or you want to just bump up your fish oil intake in general, absolutely. There's a lot of good research showing fish oil supplementation helps inflammation and allergies.
And do you have any thoughts specifically on dosage around that?
You know what? People tend to underdose fish oils. I would say, you know, with the permission of your doctor, it's certainly safe to probably take twice the dose that the label recommends for you. I'll typically have people take at least 1,000 milligrams of the omega-3 component of a fish oil, but even 2 or 3,000 milligrams a day, and with the permission of a doctor or nutritionist, can be useful for people with inflammation.
And you mentioned vitamin D, and I often think of vitamin D for bone health or perhaps for seasonal affective disorder. Tell us about why people should know their vitamin D status in regards to allergic responses.
Well, there have actually been a number of research studies. I don't know how many dozens of them that have shown those with a low D level increase the risk of allergies. And, you know, first of all, go outside, you know, live outside. We're an indoor society. We really need to be outside, soaking up the sun's rays. You know, you don't want to get a sunburn, of course, but spend hours outside every day so your body, you know, builds its own natural vitamin D. But if you can't do that or you get a level checked and it's still low, yeah, you know, supplement with vitamin D. You got to take some pretty hefty doses with your doctor's guidance to raise your vitamin D level. Work at that and don't give up, especially if you have an allergic problem. And you might actually see your allergies diminish when you get your vitamin D level up.
And lastly, any tips on how to do probiotic supplementation? You'd mentioned that as another possible tool to use. What should people be looking for?
You know, you want to get a probiotic that has many different species in it, and you want to dose it in a matter of tens of billions. You want to get something that says, say, every capsule has 10 billion, you know, organisms in it, or 50 billion organisms in it. Take it every day. But again, don't just rely on pills. You know, sometimes it's better to rely on natural foods. Like healthy, you know, Greek yogurt or kefir drinks that have a lot, you know, very rich in probiotics, or kombucha, sauerkraut, I think I mentioned earlier. You know, it's not always about pills. It's also about eating healthy and using food to heal your body. So definitely make probiotic-rich foods, you know, part of your daily diet, and you might find your allergies improve.
Do you have a website you could point our listeners to?
You know, I'm mostly these days on my Dr. Bob Sears Facebook page. I'm just starting to get up my drbobsdaily.com website. We've also had our family website, askdrsears.com. That's kind of been our old standby for many years. So, yeah, people can check us out any of those places.
Well, it's great having you on HealthWatch today, Dr. Sears.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
We're talking today to Dr. Robert Sears, the author, co-author of the allergy book, Solving Your Family's Nasal Allergies, Asthma, Food Sensitivities, and Related Health and Behavioral Problems. You've been listening to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Stay tuned for the rest of the Monday morning radio zine.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of What the Festival, a music and arts festival June 19th through the 22nd at the Wolf Run Ranch in Dufour, Oregon. What the Festival features over 80 electronic and dance artists on four large stages, including artists such as Big Gigantic, Odessa, Rob Garza of Thievery Corporation, Toki Monsta, Thomas Jacks, Tropical Pool Party, Keys and Crates, and the Funk Hunters with Charlie Tuna of Jurassic 5. Again, that's the What the Festival, June 19th through the 22nd at the Wolf Run Ranch in Dufour, Oregon, just 90 miles east of Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigator.